Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown of the companies moving the market. Today, we're digging into Colgate-Palmolive's second quarter 2026 results. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And there was a lot to dig into here, Alex. This was a good news, but with an asterisk kind of quarter.
Exactly. Let's start with the headline numbers. Colgate delivered organic sales growth in 4 of 5 geographic divisions and 3 of 4 product categories. Gross margin expanded 100 basis points to a level that's up 90 basis points versus last quarter. Free cash flow was up 18%, and they returned $1.4 billion to shareholders. CFO Stan Sutula even raised the full-year gross margin guidance to roughly flat for the year, up from a prior expectation of a decline.
That raise is notable because it's not just a fluke. Management said it's coming from real execution. Revenue growth management, productivity, favorable mix, plus a modest one-time tariff refund benefit that they don't expect to repeat.
Right, and CEO Noel Wallace was pretty upfront that this was a global story. Emerging markets were the star again, up mid-single digits, led by India, Brazil, Mexico, and China.
India in particular jumped out to me, double-digit growth in a quarter. And Latin America was strong too. Brazil up high single digits, Mexico mid-single digits, with a nice balance between pricing and volume. They're also lapping last year's Colgate total reformulation issue, and those shares are coming back nicely, especially in Brazil.
But, and here's the asterisk, the U.S. business was the soft spot. Wallace didn't sugarcoat it, saying the North America team was disappointed with the quarter.
Yeah, a few things stacked up there. May saw a sharp category slowdown, tied to spiking gas prices hitting consumer confidence. There was heightened competitive activity, and retailers pulled back inventory. So shipments came in below actual consumption, roughly consumption flat versus shipments down 3%.
There was a great exchange with an analyst about that exact gap between what tracking data shows and what Colgate actually reports. Wallace admitted part of it is inventory destocking, but he was candid that they also lost a bit of share in untracked channels, so it's not purely a data mismatch. There's real competitive pressure in there, too.
What I liked was the specificity of the fix. It's not just we'll try harder. They identified select price gaps versus competitors in certain retailers and categories, and they're stepping up advertising in the back half, which is a real financial commitment, given ad spend is already sitting near 20-year highs as a percentage of sales.
One analyst actually pushed on that. Is 14% of sales the right ad spend level? Or is that masking soft ROI given organic growth is only running 2-3%? Wallace's answer was basically, their data and digital measurement capabilities have improved a lot. ROI on digital and social specifically looks strong, and ultimately, it's about long-term brand health, not just quarterly efficiency.
Let's talk pets, because Hill's continues to be a genuine bright spot. Ex-private label, organic growth of 4%, well ahead of a category that's basically flat. The therapeutic and premium science-led segments are doing the heavy lifting there.
And there's a longer-term storyline brewing with the Prime brand and this new, fresh launch. Single protein, vet-recommended, science-first positioning. Wallace was clear this is not a volume play right now. It's a slow, deliberate brand-building rollout through the professional channel, leaning on Hill's credibility with veterinarians rather than a mass retail blitz.
China was another interesting thread. Wallace described sending Colgate's global operating heads to China specifically to learn from the innovation happening there, social commerce, go-to-market speed, and then exporting those learnings elsewhere. The Optic White-Purple launch, developed in China, is a direct example of that playbook working.
Europe also deserves a mention. It's quietly become one of Colgate's most consistent regions, largely on the back of premium brands like Elmex, even against a broader tough European CPG backdrop.
Now, on guidance, this is where I think investors should pay closest attention. Despite raising the EPS outlook, Management held the low end of organic sales guidance steady rather than raising it, even though they're tracking around 2.6% year-to-date. When pushed on that, Wallace's answer was essentially, there's too much macro volatility, oil prices, consumer confidence, geopolitical noise, to get ahead of themselves.
That's a pretty deliberate signal of caution. It's not a red flag exactly, but it tells you management isn't ready to promise a clean acceleration in the back half, even with easier comparisons ahead and the private label pet exit rolling off as a headwind.
So what does this mean for investors going forward? The bull case is a resilient, diversified global model. Emerging markets and hills carrying the growth. Margins actually improving despite input cost inflation and a clear, well-funded plan to fix the U.S. business.
The watch items are whether that U.S. stabilization actually materializes in third quarter and fourth quarter, whether the promised sequential, not linear, improvement shows up in the data, and whether raw material and tariff costs, which management expects to peak in the second half, eat into that margin progress.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Bottom line, a strong global quarter carrying a U.S. turnaround story that's still a work in progress. We'll be watching closely for signs of that stabilization next quarter.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. Until next time.